Third time lucky after the disappointments in 9, 10 and 14, 15, especially to do all the work, or most of the good work at home in front of the fans. It's been fantastic for everyone associated with the club, the board, the management, Sean and his management team, and obviously the town and the fans. They come first, and it's all for them ultimately.
From a pretty early juncture, there seemed to be a real feel-good factor, a real confidence amongst the manager and the players and the kind of people around the place. Where did that come from? Was there always a sense of optimism from winning promotion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not allowed to gamble on football matches or outcomes at the end of a season, but if I was a betting man, I'd have betted us to stay up. And that's a combination of the team strengthening we did in the summer, but also everyone from the last stint in the Premier League, the existing players before we brought the new ones in, and the management team, all still here, but all wiser, more experienced, been in the Premier League before, knew that little bit extra to get us across the line.
Was that the crucial factor, do you think, having that experience of doing it just 12 months previously?
It was certainly a major factor, yes. That combined with strengthening the team as well. You put the two together and you've increased your chances massively of survival, I think.
Just in terms of loving the club and being a supporter, are you able to enjoy it? Are you able to sit and enjoy the 90 minutes, or is it far too nerve-wracking and serious for all that?
I enjoy it most of the time, but not all of the time.
And I guess that's a bit of a quandary, isn't it? Part of you is a supporter and you want to get excited, and part of you is thinking about the bigger picture and the implications of it.
Yeah, I think in anything in life, be it sport or your career, if you want success, you've got to go through a bit of pain to get it. There's nice moments, there's tough moments, there's hard moments, and as long as the nice moments outnumber the tough moments, then we're happy with that. We take that, I think.
I asked Sean Dyche this a couple of weeks ago for his moment of the season. What would you pick out? Is there something you can pinpoint as that will stay with me, you know, want to tell the grandkids in the future?
There's a few, I think, particularly the Palace game, seeing us win there 2-0 and knowing after that result that it would take quite a bizarre sequence of results to see us not survive. So I think that was one of the most satisfying moments. But if you look at the season, as everyone knows, we're only out of the bottom three, we're out of the bottom three for sort of 98% of the time. So just to achieve that overall, I think, and to write off a lot of journalists who definitely had us going down in August. I know we hadn't signed many players at that stage, but the players we did get in towards the end helped us get it over the line. So to prove a few people wrong, I think, is pretty satisfying as well.
How special has it been here at Turf Moor? Obviously, so many good results, so many good wins, and the supporters playing such a big part.
Yeah, I mean, we'll forget about the Lincoln game. That'll be erased from Turf Moor history, I think. I've had a word with the club historian, and he's going to erase it from the record. So looking back, you won't be able to see anything about the Lincoln game. But no, seriously, I think to do it the way we did at home makes it all that more special for everyone at the club.
I think sometimes it's easy to forget in the Premier League just how much the business side of things is talked about. But for those supporters that come through the turnstiles week in and week out, it's about results and winning games, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
They'll be satisfied by that and not particularly the bank balance, I guess.
Well, that's important, so we always have to keep an eye on it. But ultimately, we're in this to win, and that's what we did.
Just in terms of the finances, I think a couple of months ago there was a report came out about the last time you were in the Premier League and being in the top 10 in Europe's profit league or something like that.
Yeah.
Is the same situation going to apply, having done this Premier League thing again so quickly?
There's a few factors we have to take into account. The profits, you know, the year ends on the 30th of June of this year. So assuming we don't sign any players before the 30th of June, which I don't think we will, profits will be very healthy. They will actually probably be a little shade lower than we were last time in the Premier League. Why is that? First of all, we spent £32 million on players this time around rather than £12 million last time. All the improvements we put into the training ground and the stadium kicked in the last financial year, so not the time we were in the Premier League before. Yeah? Players' wages have gone up. I think everyone knows that. So you add all those things together, it means, yes, still very profitable, very healthy profits, but a tiny bit below last time.
Does this sort of conventional wisdom that getting into the Premier League is a massive windfall, and obviously you get huge sums of money for it, but is being able to do it more than once or stay there the thing that allows you to do the things like the infrastructure and the spending more money in the transfer market?
Yeah, I think it's all about really, you know, being clear on your budgets and what you want to spend. And what we actually spent this year was bang on our budget in terms of, you know, player wages, transfer fees. And if you can do that, then you can plan. And if you can plan, you can do things like improve your infrastructure.
Will being in the Premier League again have implications? Will you have the manager knocking on your door and saying, can I have a few more quid, please?
A few more quid for who?
For players, I was thinking primarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say going forward, we will spend more on transfer fees in the coming season than we did last. And player wages aren't going down.
In terms of that transfer market, Sean Dyche always says it's very difficult, because even though it's a lot of money, and nobody can deny that it's a lot of money if you've been in the Premier League, to be Burnley against some of the clubs in this division is still sort of an uphill struggle. Just how difficult is it to be competitive, and how far are Burnley away from being competitive with the sort of middle-ranking teams in the top flight?
Well, I think our major objective when we close up for this season, obviously the window closes or opens in July and closes on the 31st of August or thereabout, is that when that window closes, we've got to be stronger than we are sat here today. So will that be hard work, to answer your question? Yes. Will we be able to achieve it? I believe we can.
In the past, there's been a sort of, you've received offers that have been too good to refuse sort of thing in terms of players leaving.
Yeah.
Are you out of that territory now, or is there still a price whereby you think, actually, we'd be silly not to take this bid?
Well, the most important thing for the fans to know is that we don't actually have to sell any player. So going forward, it's got to be on our terms and terms that are right for us. But do we need to sell anyone? No.
And obviously you'll see the speculation as much as everybody else does. Part and parcel of, I guess, success is that people are interested. You know, you'll see names of players linked with coming in, but also seeing them linked with going out. Is that an occupational hazard of being up here?
Yeah, it's part of the business, and it comes with the territory of being a successful team that you know, have an impact in the Premier League, which is what we've done. It's bound to attract attention. But right now, there's a lot of noise out there from the media, but we haven't had any formal interest in anyone.
Yeah, the manager's been very clear to say that nothing's changed. Obviously, Michael Keane is the one we hear about all the time. In the past, the big-name players have ended up moving on. Is the message that there's no imperative, there's no need to accept anything, even if there has been interest?
Absolutely, yeah. If we want to keep players, we'll keep them.
As far as the recruitment is concerned, certainly the last 12 months have seen a change in terms of being competitive and being able to pay that money out. Is there another level you can go to, or is it about bringing in players of a sort of, you know, that will improve the squad but not massively more money?
Well, I think in terms of fees, transfer fees, there's probably more money available for next season than there was last. So you would hope, because there's more money available, we could improve slightly on where we are.
Do you think Burnley will be a more attractive proposition now? You've touched on the training ground, the changes that have been made down there. Do you think players will perhaps not have to think primarily about what they're going to get paid per week? They might actually think about the environment here and the success you've had.
Yeah, like you say, the training ground should have a big impact, but also just surviving and staying in the Premier League, whereas last summer, I think everyone had written us off before we kicked a ball. Whereas now people are thinking, hang on, Burnley, yeah, they did well, they stayed there, they were out the bottom three for nearly all the season. So that's going to have a positive impact on our recruitment for sure.
How important is your
manager? That doesn't make it easy, I'd like to add.
Indeed. How important is your manager? I know when there's a vacancy, other managers get linked with jobs. I've heard Sean linked with one or two in the past, but he always gives me a look. He gives me a look anyway, but he always gives me a look that sort of says, behave yourself. How integral is he to what you've done and what you plan to do here?
Sean's, well, he's got to go down as one of our best managers in history, I think. And if you are that, then you're constantly going to be linked with opportunities as and when they arise. He's been here 5 years in October. Personally, I hope he's here for another 5 years until 2022. And if we can achieve that, then I'm sure we'll have more success together.
Is it the same as the players thing, really? He gets nominated for Premier League Manager of the Year for what he's done. Does that only raise the profile? I guess in a way it's good for Burnley, and in a way it increases that speculation.
Yeah, I mean, it increases the speculation, but on the other hand, players that were looking to recruit look at Sean and the manager and think, yeah, I want to work with this guy. So it can only improve the recruitment, for sure.
We've talked about infrastructure and developing stuff and that kind of thing. What's the next phase of the plan? You've done the training ground. Yeah. There's still bits and bobs going on down there, but what is the next thing on the agenda?
Yeah, so coming season, I think we've got about 8 to 9 million budgeted in new money, A, for adding extra facilities down at the Barnfield project, new facilities for you guys, the media down there.
Does that mean I don't have to be in a cupboard? I quite like my cupboard.
It means you'll get a nice comfy seat to sit on. We'll give you a nice skinny latte or whatever coffee you like when you arrive there. So we'll make you feel comfortable, for sure.
This is all on the record. I'm keeping this in.
So new facilities there. There is some obligatory improvements we have to make here. New improved disabled access facilities. That combined with other bits and pieces at Turf Moor and the Barnfield stuff as well adds up to about 8 to 9 million. But I do want to add, I know I've seen a bit of speculation either in the press or on fan websites about whether we're going to be expanding the stadium. There aren't any short to medium term plans to do that. I think the last time we made any infrastructure changes like that was back in 72, 73. When we built the Bob Lord stand, I think it actually became known as the Martin Dobson stand because we had to sell Martin Dobson to pay for it. And I think a couple of years later, we actually got relegated. So basically, above the improvements we talked about, everything else has to go on the pitch, strengthening the team to make sure we stay in this Premier League. Look, in 5 years' time, if we're locking 5,000 people out for every game, we're gonna do something. Of course we are. But short to medium term, we've got to get established as a Premier League club.
In a nutshell, does that sum up what you've all been doing here in terms of there's a difference between short and medium term planning and aspirations and something you dream about doing down the line? You know, you'd love to have more people in here, but in the short to medium term, practically there's only so much you can do.
Well, I think we will get more people down here, but the only way we're going to get that is by success on the pitch. And again, that's a gradual process. You know, you don't sort of suddenly leapfrog 4 or 5 places up the league every year. It's got to be slow, steady, evolution, not revolution. And if that means in 5 years' time we're getting 30,000 people at Turf Moor, you know, then we'll expand accordingly.
Last one from me. Yep. Second season syndrome. They say sometimes teams struggle second time round, having had the elation of staying up. Are there any fears, any worries, or do you feel like you're in safe hands?
I think we've got to make sure we're stronger when we kick off than where we finished. It's not going to be easy, for sure. But if we stay in the Premier League another season, we have to see that as a success.